Well, good morning, Mountain View. Thank you so much for joining us here in our series we're calling Love, Relationship, and the Church. And it happens to be Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to each and every one of you out there. Look, everybody looks at Valentine's Day differently. You love it or you mock it. So I don't know who you are and who I'm speaking to today, but whether you love it or you mock it, I'm going to give you some counsel. You better find a way to let those people, significant loved ones in your life, know that you love them. Find some way to do that today. Well, I'm going to tell you a story that maybe you're going to remember for years to come. Come with me. I want to introduce you to someone. This guy here, his name is Jeremy Barossa. He's a firefighter in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. This is his now wife, Krista. They got married. They were enjoying their wedding day. Happened to be, because he's a firefighter, they chose to have their wedding at the fire station. The article that I read in the newspaper said this: having just tied the knot, they were taking their wedding pictures before the reception when a call came in to the station of a home in their town fully engulfed in flames. Now, Krista, she wrote in the newspaper, said this: the fire was really bad, and I could hear the crew saying that they needed more guys. I looked over at Jeremy, and I could tell what he was thinking. He looked so torn. Krista looked at Jeremy in that moment and said, "Just go." Her new husband dropped everything, changed into his uniform, and took off to fight the fire. Now, I'm sharing that story here on Valentine's Day, and I just want you to think about that story for a second. How are you feeling when you hear that story for the first time? Do you feel the love? Or is it, that feels so unloving? Well, just kind of keep that to yourself for a moment as we go throughout this series, this message today. You see, when it comes to love and when it comes to romance, we aren't lacking in our ability to see what the culture thinks about it. I mean, we've got the novels and the soap operas and the Hulu series and the Hallmark movies, and they're all allowing us to indulge ourselves in all the lovey-dovey situations our hearts desire. But what about this thing we call marriage? That's what we're going to focus on today. Marriage obviously is heavily represented in the media, but it's often shown, at least maybe what I'm watching, as bored, tired, out of gas, and somehow that marriage needs a spark, which often in our media today is in the form of someone outside the marriage. Now, I think our media has a hard time portraying healthy marriages because a love between a married man and a married woman is very special because it involves a large number of choices for the other person, not just for themselves. Now, as I said, if you were with me last week, God's given us four love tanks in the Shema and Deuteronomy: love the Lord your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I believe that true love is not solely based on feelings, are based on emotions, based on so much more. It's a choice to put ourselves aside and love others when we don't feel like it, or maybe when we think the other person doesn't deserve it. Now, in marriage, we choose to love our spouse intimately, hear me, and permanently. Two words I want you to remember today. In a marriage, it's Valentine's Day. Let's just lay it out there. In marriage, it's a choice that we love our spouses intimately and permanently. Why? Because we know what God created is a covenant. This is the word as believers that we use from the scripture. It's not a contract. Now, I started thinking about that as soon as I said those words to myself, covenant and contract. I thought about all the weddings that I've done. Maybe those of you gone to a lot of different weddings. We sit at a wedding ceremony, and the minister says to the couple, "Please join hands and repeat after me. I, Mark," and then we just go into it. Maybe you were there. Maybe you've been married. "I, Mark, take you, Tara. I, Josh, take you, Tammy. I, Nate, take you, Andrea. I, Jeff, take you, Susie." You can go on down the line. I'm just going through some staff at the moment. Put your own names there. Ask yourself, when those individuals are saying those words to each other, what are they doing? Well, the way I like to look at it is, for me, expectations are on the move. That's why I enjoyed that part of the service so much. Why? Because for many of these couples, they've been engaged for months, if not years. And then they were dating for years. And then they get engaged for months or maybe a year. And finally, they're here. They're at the moment where they're about ready to become one in a covenant relationship. And expectations are being changed. They're moving towards reality. That's why I call it expectations on the move. Expectations are moving towards reality as the couple exchanges vows. Now, what's happening? A man and woman are making a solemn promise before God, family, and friends that they will love, honor, and cherish one another. What do we say? You can finish it for me. That's right. Until death do us part. And by repeating the vows and signing a license, kind of the way things happen here in America, a man and woman enter into a covenant relationship that embodies all that God intends for a marriage. Unfortunately, the all that God intends is not always easy, and it's not always good. You see, the giving of vows anticipates those times of married life when you get more than what you bargained for. Anybody here, anybody online with me today, understand what I'm talking about when I say that. Those times when, remember, this covenant that God put you and me in, that we chose, this covenant is the only thing holding you when your marriage takes on those unexpected twists and turns, reaching deeper, becoming more absorbed, and pulling more out of you than you ever anticipated. Still with me today? Can you identify with that? It's those moments in the marriage that it's not the better, it's the worst. It's certainly not the richer. It's the poor. It's not even the health. It's the times of sickness. And it's real. And when they do, when you go back again and again, we go back to that covenant promise we made with God. It's in those times that you and I grow in an understanding of all that God intended those vows to mean. That's why I chose to do this here on Valentine's Day. Does anyone here, is anyone with me online right now say, I want to learn how to love better? We kind of started that conversation last week because love within a marriage relationship, and maybe some of you aren't married yet, maybe you have been married, hoping that that is a reality for you again in the future, and you're saying, what does that look like? Love within a marriage is a commitment. It's sacrifice and it's intimacy. It's not just a bundle of feelings. Easy to say, hard to live out. We can love our spouses better when we realize that a covenant, that we're in a marriage, is a covenant and permanence. I like to say it this way, not a contract and performance. Because contracts are based on performance. Covenants start with the reality of permanence. There's something secure in that. When we say our vows from this day forward, we really mean for a lifetime. Now, it may not be what we're seeing in our culture, but that's the intent. That's what God desires. Now, I want you to think about this contract thing for a second. When I say a covenant is about covenant and permanence, think about the job that you work in today. Teacher, welder, union job. Think about this for a second. When you join a company or you start working for the school system, how many of you out there today get permanence-based raises? You heard me right. Permanence-based raises. Well, no one, unless you work for Congress or something. They feel like they're just there forever. How about three cheers for term limits here? I mean, we work under contracts. We get performance-based raises because jobs are not permanent. But marriage, in God's eyes, is intended to be for a lifetime. And that's why we take the vows. You see, in Ecclesiastes, in the Word of God, Solomon wrote these words, when you make a vow to God, this includes marriage. Don't delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. Let that soak in for a minute. What I'm focusing, why am I focusing on this today? A marriage vow for some people, especially in our culture today, can seem very limiting. But in reality, it's the only thing that I know, especially working with couples, working in counseling, it's the only thing that I know that sets a man and woman free to concentrate on the task of living out the sincere give and take of life. Because there's that sense of permanence. A vow of fidelity and commitment is designed to carry a husband and wife through physical illness, all the diverse interests that comes over time, a lifetime, job pressures, problems of raging teenagers, the unbelievable stress of relationships. In the midst of all that, I can say something. It's so complex, and yet it's so simple. That I can come back, and although no matter how I'm feeling at the moment, I can say, God, I made a vow. And with your help, I'm going to stick with it and keep it. Lord, you're a person of your word. I'm going to be a man or woman of my word. I'm in this for life. Now, this is not what we're seeing inside the church or outside the church. We're seeing way too many people who are alone and lonely inside and outside of marriage relationships. And I'm asking the question today, what's missing? Because it's easy to say, oh, it's Valentine's Day, but if everybody's feeling miserable, nobody wants to celebrate. So I'm asking the question, what are we missing? Or better yet, what's missing? When I look back in Scripture, this is where I'm going to go for a few minutes today. I look back to the Garden of Eden. I ask myself, what do I see? Now, I've been there lots of times, and maybe you have as well. But what do I see? At the very beginning, I see one lone human being. Maybe didn't recognize the time, but a lonely human being. Look what the Scripture says. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. That's God's word. Now, I tend to believe that there is a purpose, there was a purpose in God putting man in the garden alone for a period of time. Now, I can't presume upon God, but it was fun actually sitting there thinking about it. Maybe it was to show him the need that he had. That he needed someone to be with him. Many a man, many a woman want to be married. I know it's a desire. Some of you right here in the church, I know you personally. It's a desire of your heart. And I pray for those that I know have that desire. But others of you here today who are with me right now, even though it's Valentine's Day, you're trying to figure out, let me just be honest here. You're trying to figure out why your spouse does not think that you're the suitable helper God has made for them. You're trying to hang in there, but the commitment is not being reciprocated. Honestly, yes, I even thought long and hard before I said this on Valentine's Day. Others of you are in abusive relationships, physically and probably emotionally. The other party is clueless to the fact that God has given them a helper in you, this just for them. And in some cases, you're staying in a relationship right now that is unhealthy. Let me just be honest and say it. And in some cases, it's dangerous. If you think that's you, I want you right now to reach out for help. You can fill out that connection card that's in the room, whatever campus you're at right now. If you're online right now, that digital connection card will come up. And I encourage you, when it's a safe moment for you to do so, to fill that out and send that in. We will keep your information private, but we will reach out to you for the help that you need. Don't hesitate. Some people, if I can just be honest, yeah, I thought, Mark, I can't believe you're saying this on Valentine's Day, but it's important for those who are in this situation. Some of you, some people in this world right now, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's an abuser that needs a moment to return to a time when they didn't have you as that covenant blessing to realize what they did have in you. I believe that to be true. Let's go back to the book of Genesis and see what the Scripture said. So the Lord caused a man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. I love this. The woman is taken out of Adam and taken from the side of Adam. Now, I didn't put this on the screen, but I love reading the Matthew Henry commentaries. And he wrote this about this situation, and maybe you've heard something like this before. He said, God didn't take her from the head of Adam to be his superior, or from his foot to be his inferior. But he took her from the side to be equal to him, to be alongside him. That's exactly the purpose she is, to be the other half of man. That's what God intends. A wife is to be the other part of her husband, and a husband the other part of his wife. And then this is what the scripture said. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Oh, we love talking about that. I mean, it's Valentine's Day. I mean, before you mock it, you may want to take the opportunity to connect with the people that you love today. Since you aren't, think about that. I mean, we're not connected by bone or sinew or ligaments or anything like that. I mean, we are two human beings separate, but we become one flesh in marriage. Because we're not literally or physically meshed together with our spouses, oneness requires a choice. Oneness requires a choice to be committed to them. It requires romance. That's right. You've got to have some romance. It requires intimacy. Sex is a great thing. Sacrificial love, vulnerability, no matter the circumstances. These aren't easy. I'll say them again. It requires romance, intimacy, sacrificial love, and even in my own words, I wrote down vulnerability and I underlined in my own notes. No matter the circumstances. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Because marriage is always vulnerable to outside influences. Maybe you're experiencing or have experienced that in your own relationship. But when two people are vulnerable, or I put in the quotes, naked, when two people are vulnerable with one another inside the relationship, they are less vulnerable to the issues of temptations outside the relationship. Ask yourself today, what is your level of vulnerability with the person you love the most? You want to find ways to protect yourself from outside influences? Elevate the vulnerability inside your relationship. That's where I get this idea from. Verse 25 of chapter 2 of Genesis. Look what he said. Adam and his wife were both, I use the word vulnerable, naked, and they felt no shame. In our culture today, that's not easy to come by. Because contractual love, which is what a lot of people have for each other, if they can even call it love, more likely we would call it contractual lust. But if you give them the benefit of the doubt and you call it contractual love has plenty of judgment. But it doesn't have in it, it's not covenant love. If it's naked, vulnerable, and unashamed, that's what covenant love is. Covenant love for me is naked, vulnerable, and unashamed, physically, emotionally, and relationally. Maybe you are experiencing that in some cases. Maybe you're not. But a judgment in our relationships, judgment, if you never get this for a female, maybe female for men as well, judgment affects the way we view our bodies. Judgment affects the way we view our worth and our ability to connect with people. God has given us through the power of the love that comes from Christ Jesus himself, ability to love our spouses, meaning accepting them for who they are and all that they are, whether they're the physical nakedness, their emotional nakedness, or otherwise. For me, marital love removes the shame when operating in the grace of God. Now, in this moment, I'm going to turn this over to the campus pastor in orange, and we're just trying to answer a question. How will you choose to remove shame and judgment and operate in the covenant grace in your relationships, specifically your marriage? And I believe we can. And that's what we're going to try to do today. But God bless the host in orange. You can take it from here. Now, those of you still with me, I want you to come back to the story I shared at the beginning. Remember Jeremy? Remember Krista? This is the St. Paul's Park fire station there in Minnesota. He's left his wedding. Remember the story. He's left his wedding and his bride on their wedding day to go to tackle a home in their community that's fully engulfed in flames. Now, later on, when asked about the story, Krista had this to say, and I loved it. She said, "It's about knowing when to put someone else before yourself." Now, do you hear the words? I mean, this was her wedding day. You paid for the cake. You paid for the dress. There's all kinds of expectations. And now your husband, just seconds earlier, he's not there anymore. But she says these words. It's about knowing when to put someone else before yourself. She said, I would hope that anyone would do the same in my possession. Someone's home was in flames. So in that moment, they needed him. Hear it. They needed him more than I did. Can you imagine? A brand new bride on her wedding day, contemplating the experience of that day, saying, in that moment, someone else needed him more than I did. Well, in that next picture, a few hours later, the fire was out. The firefighters returned to the station where the reception had just begun. Jeremy said these words, when I walked into the reception, shoot, I get choked up thinking about it, everyone just stopped what they were doing, stood up, and started clapping. It was almost like a standing ovation. I was on cloud nine. Now, all the thoughts about what you think Krista could be thinking at the moment, I loved what she said. Krista said these words, I cried when I saw him. I was so proud of him. He would give the shirt off his back, his last dollar. He has the kindest heart. The article finished this way. The couple from Cottage Grove, Minnesota, walked out onto the middle of the dance floor and enjoyed their first dance together to the song by John Leland, Stay With You. Mountain View, hear me. This, for me, is a story of sacrificial love. For this precious couple, it's sacrificial love from day one. It's a love that chooses grace over judgment. And hear me, that's a choice. For Krista, that was her wedding day. All the expectations, she'll never get that day back. But by choice, she chose grace over judgment. And that is the foundation of covenant love. Now see, we live in a culture that says instead of trying to remove shame from our relationships and accept others by the grace of God, let's continue to live in shame. Let's continue to try to remove God from our modern woke understanding of relationships. That's what you see most of the time when you turn on the TV, you watch something on Netflix or Hulu. It's subliminal, it's suggestive, but it's there. But I'm asking you today, if you're listening to my voice and you want more out of your relationship, whether or not you celebrate Valentine's Day or not, whether or not you give chocolate, your card, or a kiss, I would ask you, don't be a part of the true spiritual insurrection of our world trying to overthrow God's view of marriage and love, but take the day to stop and by choice, not my feelings, but by the choice of my will to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I want to learn how to love my spouse better. How will I love my future spouse the way you intend it? Maybe it doesn't look like the movies I'm watching on TV or on Netflix or on Hulu. God, I want to know from you, how am I supposed to do this? Maybe you'll say, you know what? I'm going to trash all that contractual throwaway culture that's paraded in front of me every time my eyes click on a channel on TV or click on a show on Netflix. Let yourself hear God say, you can love your spouse better when you realize the importance of covenant and permanence that God intended your marriage to be built on. Finally, if all that doesn't work enough because the feelings are still raw, I don't know what you may be walking through here on this Valentine's Day, but I want you to think about your Lord and Savior for just a moment. Jesus Christ made a commitment to you and me. It's a commitment of permanence. He made a covenant through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary that he would never, ever forsake us. He would never abandon us. And every single one of us can hold on to that hope. I believe that Jesus Christ, in his death, battled the fires of hell so that he could make it possible a home for you and me to live in intimacy with him for all eternity. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, fulfilled his sacrificial vow to die for us that we can enter into a life of love and passion with him. He awaits that glorious day. I believe this with all my heart. He waits that glorious day when he, the bridegroom, returned for his bride, the church. I'm sure God will return to a standing ovation, to whisk believers away from the raging fires of judgment to come. Now, my friends, I don't know how your relationship is with your significant others or your spouse, but I know what the relationship with Jesus Christ can be like if we choose to enter into that relationship by faith. It really is the starting relationship to a relationship of permanence and covenant love with any human being in this world. Where's your starting point today? On this Valentine's Day, pray with me for a moment, would you? God, you have given us the model in Jesus Christ. Lord, a Savior who would come, who would allow himself to die, talking about an ultimate firefighter, to fight the fires of hell itself, that you and I, Lord God, that we as human beings could have a relationship with you forever, freed from the bondage of sin, shame, guilt, and regret. That, Lord, we could give up contractual and we could take on covenant. Lord, that's what you've done with us in the relationship. And for all that who believe in that by faith, Lord God, we have the capacity by the Holy Spirit that lives in us to live in that love with you. And through that relationship we have with you, to live in that covenance and permanence with another human being. This woke culture around us is almost living as if this is an impossibility. And in the flesh it is. So they are portraying their reality on the news feeds and on the media outlets. But what we know to be true because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us is, Lord, that the love that you have for us is a reality that we live in every day and that we can portray and show even in the disappointments and the hardships that marriage can bring. Father, I pray over the marriages of Mountain View. I pray over husbands and wives that would choose love and covenant over contractual judgment. Father, I pray for husbands and or wives that may be in emotional or physical abusive relationships, that they would hear my words today as the literal words of God to them to say, it's time to make a choice for their own health and their own safety and maybe the safety of their children and to take the risk to reach out for that help. God, give them the confidence of knowing that we would be there for them to provide the help that they need. Father, for those that are listening to my voice today, that don't have a relationship with you, but are saying here on this Valentine's Day may not be about a significant other in this world, but maybe today somebody has heard this message and they want that security that comes with covenant. They want that peace that comes with permanence that is in a relationship with you. Maybe you're listening to my voice today and saying, that's exactly what I want. What do I do? I'm telling you, he's already made it possible. He says, give your life to me. Say to Jesus, in your own words, Jesus Christ, I believe that you are God's one and only Son. I believe that you fought the fires of hell for me to give me a home eternally in heaven with you. And for the first time in my life today, by faith, I'm putting my life in the hands of Jesus the Christ. To say that I love you. And Lord, I'm asking you to help me learn how to love you all the days of my life. Now, you don't have to have those words. But if you're entering into a relationship by faith and saying, I want Jesus in my life, and you're saying it for the very first time, God is radically transforming you from the inside out. He's taking away from you all the things that will destroy you. And he's bringing you into his relationship with him. And the Bible says, into a kingdom of the Son he loves. He's taking you from the kingdom of darkness right now and bringing you to the kingdom of light. That's the gift we call salvation. It's the good news, the gospel, and it's happening in your life right now. Father, I thank you for those who are making that commitment right now, that they would have the courage before the end of this Valentine's Day to say to another human being, I found the one that my soul loves. And that's referring to Jesus. God, have your way in us today. God, may we enjoy this day. And the relationships we have around us, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.